The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, thank you very much, Palmores. And take your Bible and go back to Luke chapter 2. I'm very, very much acquainted with what that clock says, and so that you need not to be concerned, it says 6:40. I will try to be done within 30 minutes, and that way you do have opportunity to go in fellowship. Now, if I go over by 5, 10, 15, or 30 extra minutes, don't get mad at me, but I'm just kidding. I only got one amen out of that, by the way, and that was from a visitor. It's never heard me preach before, and so, okay, Luke chapter 2 and verse 10. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, and they saw the star, and they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And as I speak tonight about the joy of Christmas, I want you to think about, for some people, it's not a joy. You know, Christmas time is certainly, for some people, a depressing time. It's a time when they remember their loved ones. It's gone home to be with the Lord. I know that my dear mother would often tell us about the miscarriages that she had, that she had three miscarriages in her life before we as the four sons were born, and Mom would relate that sometimes at the Christmas time, and she would say, you know, I just kind of miss of what could have been. And so sometimes it's not a joyful time for some, as maybe we think about a mom that's gone home to be with the Lord and we miss them, maybe about a dad that's gone home to be with the Lord, or maybe somebody that is in our family that died and they died lost. And it's just a grievous time for some people. Maybe you have a relative that, you wanted them to come visit so bad, or you wanted to go visit them, and you know, it's a time where you just miss maybe a relative that you could be with or was used to being with, and so it's not always a joyful time for everyone. However, for most people, it's a joyful time. And by the way, if you're one of those people that you look at it and you say, I tell you what, you know, it's kind of a downtime for me, you can take any downtime you want to. You stay with me now. You can take any downtime you want to and turn it in to a joyful time. Please don't forget this, and I believe this with all my heart, that nobody can cause you to have a bad day. If you have a bad day, it's because you want to have a bad day. It's because you decided you were going to embrace it. Somebody said, well, you believe that everybody can live for Christ. I absolutely believe that everybody can live for Christ. I absolutely believe that. You say, why? Because my Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Bible talks about how the arm of the flesh shall fail you. If a person is failing and living for God, it's because they're abiding in that which is the arm of the flesh. Well, the way to get away from that, the Bible says we're supposed to mortify the flesh. We're supposed to put to death the flesh. Nobody, I said nobody, has to fail at being a Christian. You can be as faithful to church as you want to be. You can be as faithful to God as you want to be. You can be as faithful to your Bible reading and living a separated holy life unto God as you want to be. That's a personal choice as to what you do in your life. And so Christmas time can also be a joy. It can be a joy to you and a joy as you try to bring a joy to other people in their life. It's a time of giving and it's a time of receiving. So what is Christmas all about? Well, we know this. We know as we gave this morning a complete message on John 3:16 that it is a time of understanding what our Savior did for us. He's the one that has showed us the great example that none other could show us like he did. And that is being the supreme giver as he gave his only begotten son. So it's a time of giving. Matter of fact, Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, the Bible says this, remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. So God said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. You know, perhaps as a child, you don't understand that. Perhaps as a preteen, you don't understand that. But when you reach those teenage years, hopefully you begin to understand that it certainly is more blessed to give than it is to receive. You know, when you become an adult, it's easy to understand as you have children, and those children, they gather around the Christmas tree and they look at the Christmas lights and it's a wow, and the brightness of their heart begins to beam forth through their face, and they're excited about Christmas and excited about the things that's about to take place. But can I tell you, for those of us that are older people, we should always understand, as our Lord did practice, that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. But also at Christmas time, we need to understand that people need to learn to receive. Can I tell you, when somebody gives you something good, it's nice to say thank you. When somebody gives you something good, it is nice to say, wow, thank you so much. It's good to maybe send them a text. It's good to maybe give them a card. It's good to be able to write them a note, maybe send them an email or write them a letter. You know, I learned years ago as I begin to counsel people and as I begin to help preachers across the land that if they send me a text, I send them a text. If they send me an email, I'll send them an email. If they send me a letter, I'll send them a letter. If they send me a handwritten letter, I'll send back a handwritten letter. Whatever way that somebody corresponds to me normally is the way I'm going to correspond to them, because that's what's most acceptable in their sight. And so it is good when somebody gives you a gift to at least put a smile on your face, realizing it cost them money, realizing it cost them time, realizing it cost them effort, realizing it cost them something to be able to put that in your presence. Oh, children, don't be ingrates. Don't be somebody that's not grateful. You know, when you come and you're sitting around the Christmas tree and you say, well, I don't like the gift that I got. Well, get over it and just decide you're going to smile anyway. Amen. You know, realize the gift that has been given to you. Somebody thought of that. Somebody was trying to be kind. Somebody was going the extra mile to put that in your presence. And they thought that you liked it. Don't lead them to believe anything otherwise. You be thankful for anything that comes your way. By the way, it would be good if you have a Christmas dinner to thank mom that gets up early and maybe cooks the turkey. It might be good to thank her for the ham. I didn't say be a ham. I said thank her for the ham. It might be good to thank them for the sweet potatoes. It might be good to thank them for the regular potatoes. Maybe the macaroni and cheese. Maybe the string beans. Come on, maybe anything else that you might have around, maybe carrots. Nobody's excited about that. These guys back here, move on, okay? Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that be grateful for what God gives you. Let me tell you what I believe the joy of Christmas is all about. Statement number one, the joy of Christmas is the joy of knowing that God is for us. The joy of Christmas is knowing that God is for us. Romans chapter 8 and verse 35, the Bible says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Now, wait a minute. Do you know that nothing will separate us from the love of God? Can I tell you, it does not matter. According to Romans chapter 8 and verse 39, the Bible says, nor depth, it says, nor height or depth or any other creature shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hey, can I tell you this tonight? Nothing will separate you from the love of God. You say, well, I don't feel love. That doesn't mean he doesn't love you. I know some people that get married, and after they're married, after a while, they'll say this, well, I just don't feel love. But you know, that doesn't change the fact that your wife loves you, and that doesn't change the fact that your husband loves you. They might have a difficult time in showing it from time to time, and you might have to give them an elbow in the ribs. But can I tell you, hey, listen, nothing is going to change the love of God. God has given you a great love, and he has shown and expressed his love by giving his precious son, the beloved Lord Jesus Christ. Can I say the joy of Christmas is the joy of knowing that God is for us. By the way, it's not a performance. You don't have to live up to a certain degree in order to be able to be loved of God. Can I tell you, he loves you no matter who you are. He loves you no matter what you do. Now, because he loves you, that ought to be a motivation to live for him. That ought to be a motivation to be faithful to him. That ought to be a motivation to serve him all the days of your life. But can I tell you tonight, nothing, yea, nothing shall separate you from the love of God. So it's not a performance in order to receive. It's not all of a sudden that God is going to put some guilt trip on you and to make you love Him. Oh, no, no, no. Can I tell you how it is? Here's how it is. God gives you His love, and because He gives you His love, you want to be with Him. You want to please Him. All the day Jesus Christ came into my heart, I received Him as my Savior, and He washed my sins away. Can I tell you, that was enough motivation inside of me to be able to live for Him all the days of my life, simply because He forgave me, wrote my name in the book of life, sealed it onto the day of redemption, and because of that, I am saved forever. Now I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying there's the joy of Christmas. Why is there the joy of Christmas? The joy of Christmas is the joy of knowing that God is for us. Statement number two, the joy of Christmas is belonging to the family of God. Oh, it's a family affair. Hello? Oh, Larry was in the hospital and about to graduate to heaven. So many people went and stood beside Ann. So many people, people she didn't even know, showed her love. Can I tell you, one of the things about Christmas time helps us to understand that we belong to the family of God. Family's important. Rebecca was flying in from North Carolina. She's in Brother Owens' church and serving the Lord there, and we're so proud of her. But she was getting ready to fly out, and the plane got delayed. Can I tell you that wasn't a happy time for us? But then all of a sudden, she came in the next day, and oh, man, I tell you what, we had it all planned. We just had it all planned. Oh, we had it all planned, and I was going to park the truck out front of the airport, and Sylvia was going to go in and greet Rebecca. She was going to come out, get in the truck, and we're going to go. And then I thought, oh, man, you know, I'd like to go in and welcome her too. But then I got boxed in. You know, and two cars was on the outside of me, and I couldn't get the thing moving. And I thought, I wish these people would hurry up. I'm going to go find me a parking spot somewhere. I'm going to go in. And sure enough, the Lord delayed her, and she got stuck on the plane there, and that was all because of the goodness of God. She didn't think so, but from my perspective, goodness of God. And so I was able to go in. Did you know, I watched the Hoff family as the girls get ready to come back from Bible college, and especially Mrs. Hoff, she's just so excited. I mean, she's just like beyond herself. She's just like, oh, they're coming. You know, and Brother Hoff's got to hold her down, you know. But that's just family. That's family. I watched the Lapp family as their daughter came in, and they were just so excited about her coming in, and that's family. I watch different ones that have relatives that's visiting here, and even Brother Crutcher with the 45 people that's staying at his house right now, and he told me this morning, he said, Preacher, I almost made a boo-boo this morning. I said, what'd you do? He said, I almost stepped on one of the kids' heads. But you know, if you step on somebody's head and you do it in love, it's okay. But what's that called? That's called family. You know, some of you have relatives is visiting here in town, and thank the Lord for that. But can I tell you about Parkside Baptist Church? One thing we've learned to do, we've learned to rally together. We learned to work the campaigns together. We learned to go soul winning together. We learned to serve God together. We learned to cry together. We learned to rejoice together. Hey, there's nothing like family. I'm saying the joy of Christmas is belonging to the family of God. May I say this, that the joy of Christmas also is the joy of experiencing the liberation from fear. The liberation from fear. You know, years ago, there was the Christmas Carol, the movie that came out, the Christmas Carol. And you had the ghost of Christmas past, and you had the ghost of Christmas present, and you had the ghost of Christmas future. Well, can I tell you, Luke chapter 2 and in verse 10, the Bible says, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. You know, you don't need to be afraid of some ghost of Christmas past. You don't need to be afraid of your past. You say, preacher, but you don't understand. I messed up. I understand this. We have a loving God. I understand this tonight that God forgives. I understand this tonight that God can take somebody that has failed, that has sinned, that has done wrong, and God can forgive them, and God can restore them, and God can use them again for the glory of God. The Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 9, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What is that? That might be your past. That might be your past. I tell you, in fundamentalism, I'm telling you how it is. In fundamentalism, I'm telling you how it is. Jeremiah, come here. And here's how it is in fundamentalism. All of a sudden, somebody's walking along and they fall right down. They just fall. That was an easy, no, fall, you're falling. You're way falling. He's not falling much in his life, that's what the problem is. All right, now wait a minute, and here's what happens in fundamentalism. Oh, may I say, not necessarily picking on fundamentalism, but in Christianity in general. Here's what takes place. Somebody's fall, and instead of saying, hey, what are you doing down there? Hello, let me help you up. That's not normal. Oh, no. No, because us spiritual people, I mean us people that has the highfalutin attitude of I don't want to get my hands dirty. I don't want to care about people when they're falling. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get on Facebook and talk about them. That's what I'm going to do. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to write nasty letters about them because after all, they did something I don't agree with. Hello. That's not Christianity. You say, what are you supposed to do? Here's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to give a hand to a neighbor. That's what you're supposed to do. Pick that boy up and brush him off and say, look, it'll be okay. Let me help you. You don't have to go back down that trail again. Let me help you. That's the way it should be. Now, granted, it's more fun to do it the other way. You might feel like you're something special if you're above somebody and always kicking them. But that's not the way our Lord was. Our Lord sat with publicans and sinners. And by the way, let me help you, friend. He didn't care what anybody thought about it. You say, well, you know, they criticize me because I'm trying to help the needy and help those that are downtrodden and help those that are down on their quote-unquote luck. And, oh, they're just criticizing me. Oh, you're in good company. They criticized our Lord from one side to the other. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that we understand this. We understand that the joy of Christmas is the joy of experiencing liberation from fear. I'm talking about the fear of the past. You can call it the ghost of Christmas past if you want. The fear of the present. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, the Bible says, and though I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, amen. So he's there with you every single step. You say, but preacher, you don't understand. I can't do it. You can't do it by yourself. But he says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You don't have to do it by yourself. You say, but preacher, if I get up to preach, I'm scared. That's okay to be scared as long as you're relying on him. Preacher, if I get up to sing, I might mess up. I'd be better to mess up and mess up for God than not to try. Well, if I work on a bus route, I just might fail. Every single person I've ever read about in the scriptures has been a failure at one area or another. And can I tell you, God is good about using people that fail. Statement number next, we need not to fear about the ghost, if I may say it that way, of Christmas future. You don't have to fear about the future. Well, preacher, what if I step out to serve God and I just don't make it? Well, it's okay. God is a God of second chances. God is a God that will help you. John chapter 14 and verse 1, he says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now listen to the first portion of that verse I read there in John 14 and verse 1. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Somebody came to me the other week and they said, preacher, I'm just unsure about this thing about salvation. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Well, can I tell you, you can be sure that you're saved according to the Bible. If he gave you everlasting life, he's not an Indian giver. It's not about you receive Christ as your Savior, and if you live it, you keep it, and if you don't live it, you don't keep it. No. Once he gives you everlasting life is yours forever. Let me give you one last thing. I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying, what is the joy of Christmas? The joy of Christmas is the joy of knowing God is for us. The joy of Christmas is knowing that we belong to the family of God. The joy of Christmas is the joy of experiencing liberation from our fear. The joy of Christmas, one last thing as I close it. The joy of Christmas is the joy that comes when you give to others. That's the joy. That's the joy. Come on now. I've said it, and I'll say it as long as I'm here. I've been here almost 8 years as your pastor, and I'll say it from the next 8, 20, or 30 years that I'm here. And that is this. You take those gospel tracts and you pass them out like running water. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. You never know who's going to pick up that gospel tract and read that. You never know who's going to get saved because of that. May I say this tonight? We cannot give something away if we do not have it first ourselves. If you're not sure you're saved, it's hard to convince somebody else they need to be saved. At Christmas time, you ought to make sure, know that you are saved. These things have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So God wants you to know for sure. Make sure you know for sure. By the way, a good time to do this is making sure that you're in, if you would please, and that you're saved so that you can show others that they need to be saved also. Now I'm saying this, the joy of Christmas is the joy that comes to those who give. You know, you think about this. At Christmas time, it'd be a wonderful time to be able to give to those that cannot give back. And my, have you proved yourself excellent in that area of giving to others this Christmas time as a church body that you don't know and probably will never even see all the people that have been a recipient of that. Caring for people, loving people. My son Jared's on a bus route. He works on A1 in our A division. And he works out in the Forney area and some of the Mesquite area and whatnot. He sent me pictures of the gifts of him and Debbie going by and those little bus kids opening up gifts. And I got to see those little bus kids smiling as they were opening up gifts in their presence. Can I tell you, there's nothing like giving. May I say this, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, the Bible says, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How is it that we can give and help somebody else? There's the gift of helpfulness. You say, I don't have any money, preacher, but you can help. Get up tomorrow morning as mama's fixing that turkey, and mama's fixing that ham, and mama's fixing whatever she's fixing, a shrimp or whatever you do for the Christmas deal. I don't know. But get up and help. Go into the kitchen and say, hey, Mom, I volunteer. You say, preacher, that's just for girls. Well, what if you never get married, son? You're going to be eating out of can the rest of the days of your life. Come on. Some of you single guys, you're nodding your head. No, that's not going to happen to me. All right? But there's the gift of helpfulness. There's the gift of encouragement. You say, I can't give a gift. Can I tell you, one thing all of us can give is encouragement. Amen. I'm telling you. And we have a world out there that just needs somebody coming alongside them and say, hey, look, you did a great job. I see these little boys walking around, and they're short little fellas, you know. They're walking around like this, and they're dressed up nice for church or whatever, or they're going around, they're shaking hands during the handshaking time, and I'll go up to them, and during the handshaking time, you'll see me. I'll pat these little boys, these little girls on the back, and I'll say, hey, you did a good job. You're shaking hands. Man, I'm so proud of you. You know, now they need somebody to be proud of them. Our teenagers get up and they sing in a teen choir, or our primary department gets up and they sing in the primary choir, or their junior choir gets up and they sing, or maybe the adult choir, or the bus ministry choir, whatever. And when they get done singing, and many times I got Brother Craig to do it now, but I used to stand over here, and as the teenagers would come down here, they'd have a designated guy that would grab the books. And all the kids, as you would watch them, would come down, would put the books. in the designated guy's hand. And as they'd step off there, I'd be right here. I'd catch every single one of those teenagers who come down this way. I'd shake their hands. I'm proud of you. You did a good job. I love you. That's neat. That's exciting. You say, why you do something like that? Because they need that. I thank God for every mom and for every daddy that encourages their young people. But they need to know that preacher's proud of them too. They need to know that preacher is pulling for them too. Boy, I'm excited. We have a teen soul winning time on Thursday night, and that bus will fill up with teenagers. And I'm proud of every single teenager and every mom and daddy that makes sure they get here. Now, Dr. Bachman has started a college and career soul winning bus for our college age young people. And they'll come up on Thursday night and they'll get on that bus, and the college and career goes out soul winning. And I hear them down there in that soul winning room. And before they go out soul winning, man, they're singing and they're having a great time together. And can I tell you, that's worth its weight in gold. That's encouraging each other. See, you're sitting there and you say, I just can't do it. Nobody else is doing it. Look around. There's more than a score of people here tonight. Somebody else is doing it. Don't tell me you cannot build an independent Baptist church in our day and time that preaches right, lives right, and goes right. Don't tell me that can't be done in our day and time. I mean, it's happening here. It can happen everywhere. But what happens is people get discouraged. People say, well, I tell you what, I'm just having a hard time. Hey, can I tell you, God can help you and God can strengthen you and God can be the one that will guide you the right way. We have a good God tonight. And God, yes, God can use you. Amen. I'm saying tonight, there can be the gift of helpfulness, the gift of encouragement, the gift of friendship. Look for somebody that gets poochy lip disease. You'll see them from time to time. Go to them and encourage them. Learn to forgive people. D.L. Moody or Spurgeon, one of those fellows, said this, dig the wells of forgiveness deep while you're young so that when you become old, you can draw from them. You know why people wind up getting bitter? I'm going to tell you, because people have never known the Bible forgiveness. Nobody ought to get you bitter. Nobody ought to get you upset. If somebody gets you bitter, somebody gets you upset, great peace have they that love thy law and nothing shall offend them, it's because you're not in the Bible. You're not in the book. I really believe that. All right, so be that person that gives forgiveness. Be that person that gives acceptance. Be that person that gives kindness. And here it is. Give that person, as I said a moment ago, that gives gratitude. Be thankful. Be thankful. Boy, I don't know about you. I thank God for every single person. I'm telling you for sure. Every single person is a member here at Parkside Baptist Church. Boy, I thank God for you. Oh, I thank God for you. As I get on my knees and I pray for you during the week, and I call you out by name, or I call your family member out by name, and I pray for you, can I tell you, I'm so grateful and so thankful that God has given me such a good group of people to be able to pastor that love God. I cannot tell you, be thankful for your members of your family. Be thankful for your wife. Be thankful for your husband. Be thankful for your children. Be thankful for your grandchildren. Be thankful for all those that God has allowed you to have a part. There is that which is the joy of Christmas. Father, we thank you for tonight.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.